Cha also Tom the King Gao Akao Sati becoming Apadravat began to flee. Vita very much afraid. Migi Iva like a deer. Migayu by a hunter. Druta being followed. When the earth saw that King Prithu was taking his bow and arrow to kill her, she became very much afraid and began to tremble. She then began to flee exactly like a deer which runs very swiftly when followed by a hunter. And being afraid of King Prithu, she took the shape of a cow and began to run. Responsibly, please repeat. When the earth saw that King Prithu was taking his bow and arrow to kill her, she became very much afraid and began to tremble. She then began to flee exactly like a deer which runs very swiftly when followed by a hunter. And being afraid of King Prithu, she took the shape of a cow and began to run. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Just as a mother produces various children, both male and female, the womb of Mother Earth produces all kinds of living entities in various shapes. Thus, it is possible for Mother Earth to take on innumerable shapes. At this time, in order to avoid the wrath of King Prithu, she took the shape of a cow. Since a cow is never to be killed, Mother Earth thought it wise to take the shape of a cow in order to avoid King Prithu's arrows. King Prithu, however, could understand this fact, and therefore he did not stop chasing the cow-shaped earth. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Bhangum Langayate Ganim Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Shri Gurun Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. So in this part of the Bhagavatam, we see that Prithu Maharaj has been installed on the throne as the emperor of the whole world by the Brahmins. The previous King Vena was not properly performing his duties as the king, and so by the will of the Brahmins, the wicked King Vena was killed. But then there has to be some king. So by the arrangement of the Brahmins, they churned the body of Vena and came Prithu Maharaj. So they installed him as the king. So we can understand from this that the government actually is controlled by the Brahmins. the head of society. Unfortunately, in today's society, there is no head. There is no Brahminical culture, no Brahminical class. No training how to be a Brahmin. Just some vague concept that because I'm born in a Brahmin family, therefore I'm Brahmin. whether it's Sharma, Mishra, Deshmukh, these are all names. Kalo Sudra Sambhava. And Kali, everyone is born as a Shudra. So it's a matter of training. The king saw when he was given the position of ruling over the people that he's the protector of the citizens. Not that he was the enjoyer of everything. The king realized that this is the position of Krishna. Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is the enjoyer of everything. And just as the Brahminical class was seen that they were the servant of the Lord, and their duty was to perform yajna, performance of sacrifice, by worshipping the Lord, the king saw the same. Right? So there was a common denominator between the higher classes, a common goal. And they were meant to cooperate with each other in this higher purpose. And there was no conflict. As soon as one begins to think in the concept that this is mine, I and mine, then everything goes haywire. Srila Prabhupada gives a nice example in this regard. If you have a nice clear lake that's very calm, and you take one stone and you throw it in the lake, okay? From where that stone enters the water, circles come out, concentric waves, they come out from the center of that stone. Okay? So that's compared to Krishna consciousness, where everyone is focused on the service of Krishna. Everyone is focused on pleasing Krishna and understanding their relationship with Krishna. But then if you take many stones and throw them in the same clear lake, there'll be many centers, many different centers. And those circles that come out from the centers of where the stones went into the water, they'll conflict with each other. Right? And you'll have a very bumpy situation. So that's compared to the material world, where everyone is thinking that they're the center. They're meant to be worshipped. They're meant to be served. Prabhupada said, no one wants to be served. No one wants to serve, they want to be served. Right? But it's ludicrous. It's simply ludicrous. Think about it. The living entity is falsely trying to become Krishna. And even if he were trying to take the position of Krishna, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. Say for instance, as long as Radharas Bihari is on the altar, everybody's happy. As long as whatever opulence we offer, no one feels any problem at all. Offer them the most opulence. Today they had lotus garlands, right? So as much opulence as you offer to Radharas Bihari, Nitai Gaur, Sitaram, there's no complaint. Thousands of people are coming every day, and they're all happy to see the Lord being worshipped. Now, if I put you on the altar, you stand up on the altar, and we start to offer things to you, what will happen? People will come with a stick. Why I should be? Why are you? They'll be so envious. But this is what's happening in the material world. Instead of understanding that Krishna is meant to be the source, the center of all of our activities, the center of our attention, people are trying to falsely become the center. They're trying to falsely be the master, which is a position reserved for Krishna. So here we see that the Mother Earth, right? She's referred to as Mother Earth, and compared to a regular mother. Just as a regular mother, from her womb comes different forms, male baby or female baby. So different forms can come from the mother's womb. So in the same way, the Mother Earth can produce all kinds of different living entities. Right? In Shastra, it's referred that there are seven mothers. So one of those is the earth. Right? And if you think about it, the earth is our mother. And you know, even in the Karmi world, the non-devotee world, they refer to the earth as Mother Earth. Why is that? Mother Earth. Because these bodies that we have come from the earth. They've come about by a combination of the different material elements. Bhumir, Apalo, right? Vayu, Kamuno, Budevacha. So it's a combination of these material elements that come from the earth. Therefore we have this material body. So just as when you come from your mother's womb, so in the same way, we come. This body comes about from the elements of the earth, so the earth is our mother. Just like when the child is very small, just comes out from the mother's womb, the child is fully dependent on the mother. There's nothing in the world that the child can use, only what comes from the mother, the attention, the care, the milk. Small children, they don't eat anything else. They just eat the mother's milk. They're totally dependent, isn't it? In the same way, when we are the product of this material body, is the product of the earth, we're fully dependent on Mother Earth, just like a small child is fully dependent on its mother for all its nourishment. In the same way, we're dependent on this earth for all of our nourishment. So here we see that Prithu Maharaj, he had become the king enthroned by the Brahmins. So the first thing that happened was that the citizens came and complained, "We're starving. We don't have food." Right? So what did the king do? What did he do? He called the parliament and they had a 7-year plan and a 5-year plan and a 4-year plan, right? To try to figure it out. And they called an economist and they called, you know, they called up America. No, not like that. The king analyzed. He sat for a while. He thought very deeply on what the situation is, right? He understood things in relationship to Shastra. And then he realized what the problem was. He saw that the citizens were trying their best to perform their duties. They weren't neglectful. They weren't lazy. But still the earth was not providing. So he concluded this is the earth's fault. The earth is not giving when she should. So he immediately took his bow and arrow to rectify the situation. If the earth is not giving, then she'll be finished. So the earth, Mother Earth, Mother Nature, is Durga, basically. All over India, they're worshiping Durga, the personification of the material energy. This earth is a another manifestation of the material energy. So people worship this material energy in the form of the goddess Durga. And she has many different names, Ambika, Vaishnavi, etc., etc., etc. So many different names by which she is worshipped. And the idea is that they're worshipping the earth so that they can fulfill, they know that earth is the source of the requirements, so they worship the earth for the fulfillment of their desires. Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, Anad bhavanti bhutani parjanyat anasambhavah yagnavaviti parjanyod yagnakarma samudbhavah, that all living bodies subsist on food grains. We need food grains, right? In order to sustain this, in order for it to grow and become healthy. So how do the grains come about? By rain, right? If there's no rain, there's no grains. If there's no grains, bodies can't subsist. They can't grow, they can't be strong, they can't be nourished. Now we see this is the summer season and everyone is afflicted by the heat. So people, when the rain starts, very soon the rain will start and people will become happy. The rains are welcome, not only because it brings relief from the heat, things cool down after the rains come, but also the production of grains can start, right? Rice and so many other different types of grains that are there. So these rains come about by performance of yajna, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Yajna. By performance of sacrifice, sufficient rains come. And with rains, you get grains. People can subsist on that. But previously we see sacrifices were performed in different ways depending upon the age. Sacrifice of performing meditation was in Satya Yuga, and in Treta Yuga they performed Agnihotras, fire sacrifices in a very opulent way, and then elaborate deity worship. You can just imagine previously in the Vedic culture how elaborate the deity worship was. If you go to some of the temples in South India, like in Madurai, there's a huge temple, and different places, Rangaji and Srirangam, big, big temples are there. There's so many gates and so many walls. So at one time, the Vedic culture was very well established, and elaborate deity worship was performed. But in this particular age, the performance of sacrifice is done by Sankirtan Yajna. As enunciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the golden avatar, the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the way to perform sacrifice and satisfy the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada says, if people want to have sufficient rainfall, at least for this, they should chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. There's so much land all over the world, Srila Prabhupada explains. And Srila Prabhupada traveled around the world 11 times. Africa, South America, Canada, everywhere he went. There's so much land, he said. It's not a population problem. What does the world need to live? Right? They need grains. And there's so much empty land. Right? If people were to perform sacrifice, proper sacrifice, there'll be proper rains. And all the necessities of life, Srila Prabhupada said, can be supplied. But there's not proper management. Right? In America and different places in Europe also, they give farm subsidies so that they don't grow. Right? You get paid money not to grow anything in your land. Can you imagine? They pay the farmers, don't grow anything. Right? Because they're artificially trying to control the prices. When people in other parts of the world are starving. In parts of Africa, there's people right now starving. They don't have anything to eat. They go hungry at night. In other places, they're paying farmers not to grow any food. But this is mismanagement, Srila Prabhupada explains. Right? It's not the problem of the earth as we see here in this particular instance when Prithu Maharaj had to challenge the earth to produce properly. It's mismanagement of the so-called leaders. But what will they lead? Prahlad Maharaj says. A blind man says to all the other blind men, come, follow me. And what happens? Everyone falls in the ditch. So Srila Prabhupada was saying that we need people that can actually see, that can understand what is to be done, what is not to be done, and they should lead society. India has just had an election for the Lok Sabha, and so many new quote-unquote leaders were elected, and they promised so many things to the people. We'll do this and we'll do that. And now they're in the post, and they're only thinking how to win the next election. Right? What to do. All the promises are forgotten. And even if they want to fill the promises, they won't be able to by the material nature. She's more powerful. Even if we have a desire to be honest and to actually supply the necessities, if that's not done, keeping the instructions of the Supreme Lord in mind, if we don't realize who the Supreme Lord is, if we're not recognizing His supremacy over all and His being the owner of everything, then certainly it will fail. As we can see in all the different great democratic governments around the world and even in the past, their civilizations based on godlessness cannot last. They'll be finished because they're based on sense gratification. Sense gratification doesn't last forever. So King Prithu, he was chasing after the cow. The Mother Earth, she took the form of the cow because she felt that if I take this shape, well, there's another instance when Bhumi took the form of a cow. And at that time, she was overburdened with so many demoniac elements. It's explained in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the Krishna book. So Mother Earth, Bhumi, in the form of a cow, she went to Lord Brahma and she complained that there's so many demoniac elements on the earth. Right? Demoniac elements, persons that feel that they don't need to worship the Lord, that they should be worshipped. This is the demoniac mentality. So she asked, approached Brahma, and Brahma said, okay, let us approach Lord Vishnu for help. Now this is the symptom of a devotee. Right? The demons, when they get in trouble, They depend on their own mind and abilities and powers, right? But the devotees of the Lord, when they have some difficulty, they depend on only Krishna for help. This is the difference between the demons and the demigods. So they went to the ocean of milk, and Lord Brahma began to recite the Purusha Shukta, which is a prayer that comes from the Vedic literatures. And it's meant for pleasing the Supreme Lord. By chanting the Purusha Shukta, the Lord becomes pleased. Okay? Just like in this age, the Lord becomes pleased if you chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So that chanting is done in two ways. One is known as japa, when the devotee chants for his own purification and elevation. And the other is known as kirtan, when this congregational chanting takes place. So it's chanted loudly for the benefit of others. Okay. But this is the method. Actually, Srila Prabhupada explained that nothing else is required for self-realization except for a picture of the Panchatattva and this Sankirtan chanting, congregational chanting. Right? You can get the highest benefit with just these two things. So Lord Brahma satisfied the Lord by chanting of the Purusha Shukta. As the Mother Earth was feeling such difficulty, feeling this oppression of the demoniac persons. In Bhagavatam it's mentioned that the earth can bear the weight of huge, huge mountains. You can just imagine how much the Himalaya mountains weigh. Right? So heavy. It's a range of mountains that stretches from here, from India to China. Huge weight. Or how much weight is there in the ocean? So much water. Thousands and thousands of miles of only water. How much is the weight of that? But the earth has no problem supporting that weight. But she has a very great problem supporting the weight of dishonest persons. So becoming a devotee means becoming honest. Becoming honest to yourself and to everyone else. Right? And honesty means that one recognizes Krishna as the master and I am his servant. And that's not just lip service. Not that one just gives lip service. That one changes one's dress, puts on tilak, puts on kanti mala, and keeps the same old mentality that I'm the trying to be the master. Right? Being a devotee means a change of consciousness, not a change of dress. What is the use? If you change your dress, you put tilak, and you don't change your consciousness. It's simply shramehevi kevalam. Just like some persons, they speak Bhagavatam, but their idea is they're going to get some money. So this is condemned in the Padma Puran. If you speak to Bhagavatam with the idea that I shall get some money, this is condemned. Why? Because there won't be any benefit to the people you're speaking to. No benefit. The Shastra gives the example that just like a snake, right? A snake that has no poison in its teeth. It may look like a very dangerous snake, but it has no effect because there's no poison. So the same way, persons who recite Bhagavatam are speaking any spiritual discourse with the idea of something in return. They're just like that snake that has no poison. They can't be effective. They may be able to attract many followers, but that's not the proof. That's not the proof. What is the use of having a great number of followers who don't have a change of heart after the Bhagavad Katha? Everybody goes home, lights up their bidis, breaks out the chai, right? Starts drinking their Kingfisher. What is the value? No value. Can't be effective. Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for the purification. It's meant to create a revolution in the impious lives of the Kali Yuga living entities. In Kali Yuga, there are so many problems, so many difficulties. Clear Doshan Hai Rajan, that this Kali Yuga is just like an ocean of faults. If you go to the beach, there's so much water in the Arabic Ocean that you can't see to the other side. You can't see the Saudi Arabia. So much water in between here and there. So if you look out on Kali Yuga, it's like that. It's an ocean of fault. Nobody's truthful. Nobody knows how to be clean. Right? Simple thing. Cleanliness. Right? People don't do it. And that creates so much disease. People go to the bathroom, they don't wash their hands. I see it every day. How unclean. Right? But a devotee of the Lord, they're trained to be clean. They have a natural proclivity or attraction for cleanliness. It's like when we're serving the deity, right? Many times we wash our hands. So the outsiders will say, oh, they have a cleanliness phobia. They have some phobia. Right? No, it's not cleanliness phobia. It's the service of Krishna. We're not dealing with a statue. We're dealing with Krishna, the Supreme Lord. If he's the same as us, then why are we doing all this service? No. He's the Supreme. He's the source of everything. The Supreme Enjoyer. So whenever I'm doing anything for Krishna, whether it's cooking, making garlands, my hands have to be clean. Right? And they may say, oh, you have some phobia. Let them say. But we know. It's not phobia. It's attraction for Krishna. It's for the pleasure of Krishna. If you touch the floor, like some mat or something, your hand's not clean, because that's not a clean thing. So you have to wash your hand, and then again, do your service to Krishna. Right? How many times Srila Prabhupada had to instruct the devotees? Every time he got a new servant, he had to instruct him how to be clean. Right? It's a science. The science of Krishna consciousness. The more we are successful in executing the process of Krishna consciousness, the more we'll be attracted by the principles of Krishna consciousness. The more we are attacked by Maya, the less we'll be attracted by the principles of Krishna consciousness. Material life means moroseness, unhappiness. Because sense gratification is the basis of material life and it never brings happiness. It may bring some temporary interaction of the senses and the sense objects, But that's not very long lasting. So we see here in this part of the Bhagavatam that Prithu Maharaj is very much concerned because the citizens are performing their duties, there should be the proper production, so therefore he's insisting, he's chasing after the earth in the form of a cow so that she produces for the citizens. This is the kind of responsibility the king has, to see that the citizens have. This is also the intention of the spiritual master. He wants to see, and Srila Prabhupada, so many times you can listen to him. Whenever he's talking, maybe he's just sitting somewhere, he's discussing in a conversation. If you read the conversation books, again and again, Srila Prabhupada's concerned that all of the people become happy. His concern. Many times devotees, they would leave, and they had so many problems. When they left the Krishna consciousness movement, they'd come back to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada would very compassionately tell them, all they want is that you become happy. Okay? And Srila Prabhupada knew that happiness depends on Krishna consciousness. It doesn't depend on chasing after the illusion of this material world. That won't help us. That won't help us to become happy. So these great kings like Prithu Maharaj, they realized that, and their program was to make the citizens happy, not through sense gratification, but they by performing the prescribed duties in Krishna consciousness. So this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is based on that principle of making people happy, based on being Krishna conscious, and especially through chanting Hare Krishna. Ram Ram Hare. So are there any questions, comments? You got the microphone?
Hare Krishna. All the citizens, they went to Maharaj Prithu because they are having problem. They didn't have enough grains. So Maharaj Prithu, for solving the problem, he started chasing the Mother Earth and he wants to kill her, who is the basis of subsistence of all the people. So if he kills her, including himself, everybody become annihilated. So what is the logic in Maharaj Prithu chasing Mother Earth?
Same time. Prithu Maharaj is not an ordinary person. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's also the source of the Mother Earth. Right? He's the source of all the energies. He knows that the Mother Earth is his energy. And he's encouraging her to act in the proper way by becoming angry with her. So the there's no question of killing in the sense that Krishna's energy is all eternal. Right? So what is the question of killing? But he became angry with that mood to kill her so that she would properly provide the necessities. Is that okay?
Prabhuji, Varanashram Dharma, that mission is not completed, or is it likely to be completed in the time of Kali Yuga? Varanashram Dharma.
Re-establishment of Varanashram Dharma?
Is it likely to be completed in Kali Yuga? Because Kali Yuga is an age of conflict and disturbance. How we can accomplish such a great mission? Because every time we are harping on the same thing, that Varanashram Dharma is the best. In some age it was there. But now, say for 437,000 years, it won't be possible. So why to depend on that?
What we can do individually to help the reestablishment of Varanashram Dharma, which is a very big topic. It's not a simple topic. But individually what we can do, and what the Vanashram Dharma system needs for its re-establishment, in particularly, is the Brahminical culture, Brahminical class, persons that are situated predominantly in the mode of goodness. So individually what we can do is try to come to that standard, try to come towards more of the mode of goodness and developing our Krishna consciousness, and therefore guide people. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jare Deko Tare Kaho Krishna Upadesh. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, tell them to take the Krishna consciousness, to think of Krishna, worship Krishna, to chant the holy name of Krishna. And if you do that much, establishing Krishna in your own heart and trying to enthuse other people to take Krishna consciousness, well, that will go a long way to establishing the Vanashram institution. But there may be other things also, such as some devotees are trying to establish self-sufficient farm communities that are based on the principles of Vanashram Dharma, which means living on the land and depending on nature and the cows. That's another thing. But that requires a bit of organization, requires, so far we haven't been so successful at it, although there have been several attempts. So like that. Yes?
Mother Earth is possibly the personification of Krishna's energy. So how could it malfunction? How could it, how could it malfunction?
What could malfunction?
Mother Earth. When others were doing what they were meant to do, performing sacrifice and work hard, how could Earth not provide for the people?
Well, it's not automatic.
Well, it says in the Gita that if you perform sacrifice, you have rain and earth will provide and things of the sort. So it's kind of automatic. You do your job, nature does it.
She could still restrict it.
She could, but why would she? A mother is supposed to provide.
Well, she would normally not restrict, because the citizens are doing their duty, they're performing sacrifice, right? And in this particular instance, we see that she did restrict, even though they were performing their prescribed duties. And she brought the wrath of Prithu Maharaj. This gives us an example of how powerful a king can be. Is that he can even make the earth supply again, even though the earth is restricting, right? The king is the representative of the personality of Godhead. That's not an ordinary thing. If one purely represents the Supreme Lord, all of the Shakti or all of the power that's there in the Lord will be in the Lord's representative, right? So sometimes the Lord arranges things in such a way to display the power of the Lord or the Lord's devotee, right?
So would you say that this was a leela to enhance Prithu Maharaj's glory?
Definitely. A glorification of the Lord, the Lord's devotees, an opportunity. Just like in the example of Srila Prabhupada, who would have ever imagined that an old man would come from India with no money, no finances, no connection with anyone? He said when he got down from the boat, the Jaladuta, on the ramp in New York, he didn't know whether to go left or to go right. It was a completely strange place to him. But yet, by his sincere desire to serve the mission of Lord Chaitanya and to serve the plan of the Supreme Lord, so many things happen. Wonderful things, glorious things, very unimaginable things happen. Right? So, yes, the things become arranged for the glorification of the Lord and the glorification of the Lord's devotee. Any other questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, there is a Varna system, that is a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. Suppose this Shudra class refused to do their duties, should their duties be shared by other classes?
If the Shudras fail to do their duties, should their duties be shared by other classes?
Or Shudras should be punished?
Or what?
Or Shudras should be punished for not doing their duties?
Well, you know, if you have the Brahminical class in line, if you have the Kshatriya class in line, and the Vaishya class is performing according to their duty, then it would stand to reason to me that the Shudras would also come in line. In other words, those persons that had the mentality, a Shudra-like mentality, they would automatically come in line if the other classes were properly performing their duties. Isn't it? Doesn't it stand to reason? If you had Brahmins that were actually doing the work of Brahmins, you had Kshatriyas actually had the qualities of Kshatriyas and doing the work of Kshatriyas, and you had Vaishyas that were actually, you know, taking care of the land and taking care of the cow, you know, as they're supposed to do, real Vaishyas. Automatically, those persons that have that mentality would be properly engaged. It's a matter of employment. It's a matter of engagement. According to one's psychophysical nature, the Vanashram Dharma works. So it would appear to me that they would come in line automatically if the other classes were properly functioning.
Prabhu,
if they didn't function properly, there's always the king. There's always the king. You do right, or boom boom, you're gone. Right? Punishment is always the option, is there.
Prabhu, in our performing day-to-day seva, do you think that we should be very keen that we should do this work only, that brahmana's work or particular work? In other words,
there was one devotee, his name was Kushagrata. You know, he translated so many books later on after Prabhupada left. And he was in the Radha Damodar traveling Sankirtan party. And he was on the bus that I was on. We were traveling. He had come from Los Angeles. He was in the ISKCON press working. And I remember one devotee asked him to sweep the bus. And he said, no, I'm Brahman. Chaturvanyam Rashishtam Gunakarma Vibhagasya. So you can apply the Shastra in any way that you like sometimes, but then you have to learn from the Acharya what is the proper application of Shastra. So when one time Srila Prabhupada was in an interview and he was talking about the different qualities of the Brahmins, Kshatriya, Vaishyas and Shudras, so there's a first class men. You know, they serve the Lord. And there's the second class, the Kshatriyas, they serve the Brahmins. And the Vaishyas serve the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas. And the Shudras serve all the different classes, right? According to their modes of nature and qualities, right? So that one reporter asked Prabhupada, so which class are you? He thought he had Prabhupada trapped, that, you know, he'll say, I'm first class, right? The Prabhupada said, I'm a fifth class man. because I have to serve everyone. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gopi Manandi Hari Hari Hari.